Daniel Hewitt.
I'm Max Friedel.
And today we have a special guest, Benjamin Ulrich, who is a lovely friend of Max and I's from Pep Band. He plays the trumpet with us. He's an icon beautiful on this camp. So Ben, how was your weekend?
My weekend was truly spectacular. I finished all my midterms and I was it's time to finally experience life again outside of Laos. I had a great time. I went to Rocky Horror on Saturday Friday night. That's Friday night.
Incredible.
It really was a weekend like that.
It was.
Truly, truly spectacular. So yeah.
Yeah. Wow. How was your weekend, Megs?
My weekend was one of those where you're like, so we're gonna decide things this weekend, huh? Okay. And I had to figure some life shit out. I had an excellent Friday. Saturday was a disaster. Sunday was a recovery day. I watched Call Me By Your Name on Sunday. And so that it aided with the, I had to go low before I could recover.
Right. Yeah, hit rock bottom before you can climb back up.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you want to take your elbow up because it'll pick up the mic. There we go. Ben was supposed had a nice sassy pose, but it's gonna mess with your audio, so.
That's really disappointing, frankly, that this microphone can't bend to my whims, but it's okay. I don't care, I'm not bitter.
How was your weekend, Kayla Hewitt?
My weekend was good. My mom was in town, and my eldest sister, who doesn't live in D.C., was here, because she ran the Marine Corps Marathon. So that was nice. I got a lot of free meals. I got 4 new pairs of shoes.
Hey.
I hate you.
How are your ankles, by the way?
Oh. So the weekend was good until on Sunday morning. I was so dumb, and I decided to wear one of my new pairs of shoes, which are Doc Martens. And for those of you who don't know, you have to break in Doc Martens. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten this, so I wore one pair of low-cut socks and tore all the skin off my heels, essentially.
Yeah, gross.
And then
pretty rank.
I had to get up at our call time was 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So I got that was from the hours of 7 to 10 o'clock in the morning. Mm. But then I still had a full day of life to live where I had to walk to Roslyn and back. And just I took 2 Advil and just powered through.
I love that you took 2 Advil to go on a 10-minute walk.
The gasket on your ankles, just strutting across the Key Bridge. Buzz is all hell.
You could have switched shoes, wore
some
sandals.
No, I did change. Yeah, okay, I wore flip flops all during
on.
Pep Band. But
it
was
cold.
Did you
put on real shoes after that?
I did.
Why?
Because I had to walk far, and I also had to see my mom, who if I rolled up in rainbows, would have just been like, "What is wrong with you?" So I powered through, but then I it wasn't as bad because I had the Advil coursing through my veins, and then so I was like, "Oh, I can do this easy." And then the Advil wore off, and I was in such pain. And then I was hoping that I would have Wolverine powers to last night and just heal, and by today just be able to shred. I can't. I've been limping all across. I went down to First Bake this morning. I had to take an Uber.
First Bake? First of all, what possessed you to go to First Bake with no feet?
My sister wanted to go, so I went and got breakfast with her.
You don't have family.
But I also have, I have, for some reason, Uber gave me 40% off my rides this week.
Okay.
So it was a cheap Uber, so it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
But still, every time I keep looking at people and being look at you just walking. That is so, walking is beautiful. I'm so jealous.
Just do what I'm doing and wear Birkenstocks right now.
I'm not that type of gay, you know?
Oh,
that's hurtful. Frankly, you know what my aesthetic is, my desired aesthetic as a gay man is trucker gay, gay trucker. That's what I aspire for, you know? It's that's basically the peak.
He uses glory holes, on, long drives.
Sure, that's exactly what I was, that was what I was going for. Not anything to do with just liking jeans a lot. Like, no? Okay. Just gonna go there.
That's what I think about. No, it is funny, though, to think about your, gay aesthetic, because when we went to Rocky Horror, I wore makeup, and it was, really fun, and I told my very hetero roommate that I had worn makeup. I don't think he listens to this podcast. I don't think he knows that I'm not straight. Somehow, still.
You sleep in the same room and he knows nothing.
To be fair, he's not the most cognizant of his surroundings at many points in time. Just TBH.
I love him to pieces. But it was funny because I'm also, even though I'm not straight, I'm hooking up with a girl regularly, which is fine. It's just the straight in me jumping out.
It's a smoke screen.
Yeah, but he was like, did she think it was hot? And I was like, I don't know. It didn't occur to me to ask. Like, I didn't give a shit. Like, but I thought it was like, that was kind of a funny window into like, oh yeah, huh? Like, gay shit is kind of like still through like a not gay lens sometimes.
I mean, my favorite was the first day he noticed that you had your nails painted. And I feel like I saw him have an aneurysm. No, his brain being like, what is happening?
I was explaining this to him, too, because he didn't give a shit after a while.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's fine. But, like, this happened with my dad, too, mm-hmm. where, like, I, like, wore nail polish because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, I was hanging out with my dad and some of his buddies, and my dad was like, hey, Max, like, show, like, X, Y, and Z, like, your nails. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, I just think it's, like, funny. You know, like, it was, like, look at my, like, fucking, you know, son or whatever. And I, like, it was whatever. Like, my dad's, like, not, I love my dad.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, the first kind of, like, moment, you know, where, like, it was clear, like, it was kind of uncomfortable.
Mm.
And it was just, like, I don't know, kind of funny.
Mm, yeah. No, I experienced that, actually, this weekend with my mom. Because, one, I rolled up to dinner the first night I saw her wearing a tie. And she was, like, why are you wearing a tie? And I was like, because I have an outfit on. I don't know why.
It's part of my look. Yeah. What's your question?
Yeah. How can I help you? And then it was also...
virtue signaling, actually.
And then it's also because I was taught, because Max is coming home with me for Thanksgiving. And I mentioned you, and I was like, I think it's funny that Max is the first man that's going to come home to the Hewitt household, and he's going to show up, and they're all going to be like, what? And I, like, gestured, like, he's going to, like, put his hand out, like a Southern belle, and, like, have his nails painted. And my mom was like, he paints his nails? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, why? And I was like, I don't know,
why does
cute.
Anyone?
Yeah. Like,
it's a look, honey.
So I just think it's funny where people just, like, can't. They're like, I don't get it. I'm trying, but it doesn't make sense. But it's 2018, people. Gender is over.
Wake up, sheeple. Like, it's here. Queer. Like, you can't really stop it.
But yeah, that. But Rocky Horror was a big highlight of this weekend.
Do you care?
It's
do you
spectacular.
Care to, go through it for the uninitiated?
Absolutely. So, Rocky Horror, delightful. So it's this old cult movie from 1975 about this engaged couple where their car breaks down and they go to this weird castle in the middle of, like, it's like not even like, it's like the middle of Ohio or something weird.
Is
like
it?
That. Maybe. Yeah, when I looked it up, I was like, it's like some like near Denton, Ohio. And I was like, okay. And it's this castle who, like the lord of the castle is Dr. Frank Enferter, a Transylvanian transvestite who is played by Tim Curry in the film.
Okay.
There is a lot going on, and all of it is working for me. All of it is working. I mean, the first time you see him, fishnets.
Mm.
Corset.
Mm. That
work.
Leather. Ooh, yeah.
Work. And so this Dr. Frankenfurter is a mad genius, and he creates Rocky, this gorgeous, like, Frankenstein monster that's actually just a really hot little mask man, to, like, be his love thing. And then there's, like, a whole little thing, some, like, murders, some aliens. But, yeah, it's, like, such a wild trip. And then people at some point were like, do you know, it'd be really great to act this out while it's playing behind us. And thus, the Rocky Horror Picture Show was birthed into cult history.
Yeah.
And
so this weekend, GU Pride hosted the first ever Rocky Horror screening. I don't know if it's first ever screening or just screening with a shadow cast
on
Dorchester's
campus. Yeah.
Not ever. We didn't invent this.
We invented this.
And this weekend in the ICC auditorium, like, how many kids does that hold? Like 300?
It was completely sold out. Like,
it was
the
every
game
I've
out.
Ever seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
put together.
It was insane. It was just, and it was so great because it was like, it sold out. Because one of my friends was in it. One of my friends was playing Dr. Frankenfurter.
Oh, they were great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's fantastic. And I was like, oh, time when tickets go on sale. And, like, the first round of tickets sold out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I had to set an alarm to, like, make sure when the second round went out, when they moved it from Bulldog Alley to ICC Auditorium, I could get tickets and go.
Yeah.
Oh, spectacular.
It was so great. And, like, the beginning, like, they did, like, a warm-up with the crowd to get it from,
oh,
like,
yes.
Blowing. Mm. And my boy
there's
Ben
a,
was out here
yeah,
dancing
a,
and strutting.
I was working on that stage. You know, I'm passionate about my work with an E.
But yeah, I kept, like, throughout the course of it, I just kept sitting there being like, I can't believe Georgetown is letting this be a thing.
I know.
We're in the,
like,
ICC auditorium right now.
I know, like, and, like, famous people have, like, sat at that podium and said things.
I saw a congresswoman there last year.
I saw a congresswoman, and here we are getting all dirty on the stage. You know what they don't know on her notes.
But it's a really, like, incredible show and mm-hmm. incredibly, like, queer show for, like, many reasons. Like, not only, like, the Dr. Frankenfurter's, like, character, but just, like, the ideas of, like, free sexuality and, like, mm-hmm. like queer, the queering of identities in general. And also just, like, the costumes.
Oh,
the singing,
yeah.
And the dancing. It's just, like, so gay. Were you going to say?
No.
And also the, because it originally came out in 1975.
Which is crazy.
Like, I know, you know, over 40 years ago, and it was only, what, like, 6 years after Stonewall? Like, so it was, like,
yeah,
there wasn't really this, you know, same community that there is today, mm-hmm. or the same mm-hmm. acceptance of it, and yet, I mean, it was a hit,
yeah.
Or even if it wasn't, like, super big, it persisted
yeah.
so long, it was just this, it, like, really struck a chord with people, which
yeah.
is so...
But I was thinking about this, like, after, I was like, if this came out now... Do I think it would have accrued such a following?
Well, did you guys watch the one, the, like, NBC one last year with, like, Victoria Justice and all them?
They did.
No.
Yeah, so here's the thing, is I watched that with my little cousins because they were like, oh my god, I want to, so I showed them the original and then I showed them that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, interesting, right, because it's so, like, de-sexed
mm-hmm.
up, you know, it's, like, the costumes are, like, they're, like, sexy, but they're, like, they're more costumes
mm-hmm.
in, like, a monstrous sense, not
mm-hmm.
so, like, fucking gay or whatever.
Right.
Not so, like, exposed.
It's just, like, outfits that people would wear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's just, like, it felt neutered in a way, and it was very strange to
mm-hmm.
watch. Like, it wasn't, like, upsetting or anything. It was just, like, boring
mm-hmm.
in a way that, like, Rocky Horror, like, you can have opinions about it, but it's hard to be bored. And watch it.
That's true. Never a dull moment there.
Yeah, for sure. But it made me very happy, and it was definitely, like, one of my, like, favorite things that I've, like, attended. That was, like, a Georgetown thing.
Yeah, and it was so well done. I mean, everyone who was directing, acting, producing was just they were. It was there's so much heart.
Those
so
are
much,
snaps.
So much skill. It was yeah. So it was truly fantastic.
It was beautiful.
Can't wait for next year.
Yeah, I hope it continues for years to come.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
I hope it gets in Gaston one day. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow, that would be... I mean, they let Mr. George have perform in Gaston, so...
This is true. That's
George
the next...
has the height of straight stuff.
That's true.
Until next year when I win it, so...
Ooh, okay.
Go off.
Watch out.
Mr. Pep Band 2019. Yeah, I don't know if Rocky Horror is the next logical step after Mr. Georgetown.
Potato.
But the reason that we wanted Mr. Ulrich here to join
Mr.
us this
Ulrich.
Week on the podcast is because he is the RA of Crossroads, which is a floor dedicated to, like, LGBTQ students. So you want to talk about what that is? And
yeah, so Crossroads is an LLC, so, like, a living learning community, and it's mission is to create a space for students to talk about issues of gender and sexuality that are affecting them. And it's sort of intended to be geared more towards being a housing space for LGBTQ students, but anyone, regardless of sexuality or gender identity, can
mm.
apply to be a part of the space. And this is its inaugural year, which is really, really exciting. It's been like such an honor to be asked to lead it, which was, and I think it's been really great because the residents, of course, have applied because it's an LLC, but they have been so committed to it, so committed to having these discussions, so committed to creating a space. And I think it's really nice because it's very, it's a tight-knit community. There's only, it's on VCE 10, which, surprise, surprise, does exist. but there's only like, you know, 8 residents in it, but they're all, it's a great way to create family, to have a nice, tight-knit community that can really come together and like talk about this kind of stuff and feel comfortable enough to talk about this stuff.
Yeah. So how long were people like putting in the work to like make Crossroads come into existence?
So Crossroads is really a, I think, like 5-year process to the point where it is today. As I think, you know, back when they first wanted a space like this, it was originally specifically intended for LGBTQ students. And then, you know, through, there was a lot of, you know, pushback from the more traditional elements that, you know, donate to the university, you know, very traditionally conservative, very traditionally Catholic. And so there was a lot of effort to reframe the space as one for not just LGBTQ students, but to create a space for everyone to talk about issues, hence the Crossroads gender and sexuality. So that way, anyone who wants to talk about it feels comfortable doing so.
Yeah.
So it was this process of, you know, iteration, you know, compromise, trying to, because I think the people who were behind it, and I don't know everyone personally because it's been such a long process, but the people who I do have met, they're very, very, they feel very, very passionate about this, and that it's really, it's a need that the campus, like, it didn't have fulfilled. And so I think that now that we have it, and now that there's the potential for growth, for expansion, for more discussion, I think that's really great that we finally have that on campus.
Yeah, I agree. So are all the residents on it part of the LGBTQ community? Have any allies?
Yes, they are. No, they're all LGBTQ identifying students, which is fantastic. And it's really great because it's a very diverse community, both in terms of basically all their identities. And I think that's fantastic because it allows us to have really productive conversations about these issues. It's not a bunch of, you know, it's not a bunch of like little white gays like sitting in a corner or sitting in a circle. It's people who have lived lots of different experiences in a lot of different senses. And so I'm really thankful for my residents for having, you know, decided that they wanted to be a part of it, and for being willing to, you know, share their experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's super interesting, Georgetown's like dynamic with the LGBTQ community. Because, like, we are, like, one of the only, if not the only, like, Jesuit Catholic school that has, like, something like Crossroads or even just, like, the LGBTQ Resource Center. But if you talk to, I had a conversation a while back with, the head of the Resource Center, and she was telling me about, like, getting that in place and, like, how what it was like for her first coming to this campus and her just feeling, like, always uncomfortable, like, especially in, like, obviously conversation with Jesuits who just like don't really think that her life is essentially a sin and things like that. So it's like interesting to like on the outside you can look and be like, oh my goodness, we have Crossroads, we have GU Pride, we have QPOC, we have a resource center, like look how like progressive we are. But I think it's like that Catholic identity jumps out very often. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel like as a queer student at like Georgetown dealing with like the legacy of Catholicism and things like that?
Well, it's something I contend with because it's not something I thought about because I didn't think I was fucking queer before I applied to school. So it was a challenge that came up after coming to Georgetown rather than before. But it's like there's just something I was talking about with one of my friends after fucking watching Call Me By Your Name. because that's just how it be. But we were talking, it's just like, So the first time I watched Call Me By Your Name, this is like probably TMI, but I watched it with a bunch of my friends, and I was only out to maybe two of them. And so I was like deathly silent while I watched it. And then I go back to my room. This was like last year. I go back to my room and maybe talk for like 30 minutes with my roommate. Not, of course, about anything that I had just watched, just about whatever. I waited for him to fall asleep, and then I cried for an hour. And it's like, and that's like fine, you know, like that was like how I dealt with that. But like that, it's honestly high key an allegory for like how I feel a lot of the time, where it's like I have my friends who are like my allies or like my queer friends who I feel comfortable like being queer around. And it's like been difficult, like being out, you know what I'm saying? Like not, and I don't just mean like saying that I am what I am, but like being I am what I am, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always sort of been very, like, I didn't come out, like, really, truly until I got to college, but I've always been, like, a very outgoing, flamboyant, engaging person. And so that was sort of, it was sort of a part of me that I couldn't really, it aligned well with sort of like the idea of like a gay person is. And so it was never, it's always sort of been this thing where I do temper myself around my straight friends, but it's also like, this is like how my personality is. And like, you're like gonna enjoy it. Like you're just, you're gonna have fun. Like you're gonna be here for it. And I think that, but I agree that it's hard because like I have a lot of friends here who are not as out as I am, who are not as comfortable as being always seen through that lens first. Because I think that's something that comes across first from me for a lot of people. You know, it's people usually see me and they're like, oh, you're definitely gay. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Please don't ask me again. In part because then I don't have to, like, you know, be constantly coming out to people, which is a personal preference of mine.
Yeah.
But for other people, it's, they don't want to be immediately judged from that perspective because there is so much stuff that comes from that. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard, too, because this campus can feel, you have to sometimes look for the support. Yeah. And like you touched on, you know, the Catholic identity, I think that there's parts of the Catholic identity that can feel sort of counter to who we are, or feel as though it doesn't approve, feel it doesn't, it judges, it doesn't like that. And I, you know, I really had to seek out people in the Catholic community. Like I'm Catholic and I'm pretty involved in the community, but I had to seek out people kind of specifically for that. I mean, there are a lot of like great Jesuits who are very helpful, I've been able to have conversations about this with, Father Greg Shenden, who I think a lot of people know just from, he usually speaks at like convocation, and like he spoke during Gap Week and when I first came, and he is a very, I think he really embodies what the Jesuit ideal of like being accepting of all identities is, and loving people for who they are and not how you want them to be. And like they've done, like I was on last fall, I was on an interfaith panel about queerness and faith and how that affects students, and that like most of the like chaplaincy was at, which was really cool. But but I agree, it's you have to go find that, and then there's not everyone from the Catholic background is, you know, comes from a Jesuit background, they come from their own Catholic background that teaches them that, you know, what, you know, homosexuality is, you know, disordered, a sin, whatever, and it's hard to engage with that because it puts a lot of pressure on you to be, well, like, let's have a conversation about, you know, why you think that, what are the roots of that, like, why should you maybe not think that, or why, like, how can you change your perception of that, because it's, that's like, you know, I don't want to have to do that work all the time, that's a lot of work for me. And it's, if someone doesn't want to engage and respond, it can be difficult to change their viewpoint.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting for me coming from, because I was out in high school, not for all of high school, but like my senior year, I was dating somebody, so it was like, we all know, it's fine. but I didn't come out to my family until like the very, very end. But by the time I came to college, I was very much in a state of mind where I was like, I'm already here, I don't want to move backwards in this journey. So, like, I very much was like, yes, gay. Hi, I'm gay. I'm gay. Did you know I'm gay?
Did I mention that?
Which was very different for me because I, the whole idea of, like, reimagining, like, redefining yourself, like, in college, like, it wasn't as much that, but it was like, I'm already like this, but I want to be more. But I was also very, like, fortunate in high school to have, like, gay teachers and, like, very good, like, allies and friends. And also just my entire life, every person I've, like, gravitated toward, or most people that I've gravitated towards and become friends, like, eventually we're like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, I'm, like, queer in some way. And I'm like, god damn.
It just kind of happens that way. It's
like a little magnet where you're, like, calling out to each other telepathically, and it's like...
Like, going back to, like, my first best friend, we're both gay now.
There it is.
Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, I've been very lucky in that way that I've always just been
maybe
surrounded.
Maybe you're the problem.
Stop turning people gay.
It's all me. I'm sorry. But, like, I've always been very fortunate to, like, always have a community of people who are like, oh, my God, same. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I always had those spaces. But I also think it's interesting, like, Max and I, we've talked about this, and I was talking about it with my sister this morning, where I was like, I feel like my perception of what Georgetown is not what most students think of as Georgetown, and two, what people on the outside of Georgetown think of as being, like, what Georgetown is, because, like, I revolve in, like, a circle of, like, 40, 50 kind of artsy queer kids, and then I'm like, where it's, like, always a safe space and always super gay, but how many actual real friends do I have in the MSB? None, I don't think. Like, people that I would, like, go to talk about something.
Wow, someone's gonna listen to this podcast and be really hurt by this. Yeah.
What if you have, like, a friend you're, like, not sure is in the MSB and they're just like, cancel?
I'm sorry, MS bro, that I forgot about. But I don't, not that I can think of. I know people that I enjoy the company of in the MSB, but I wouldn't call them, like, I wouldn't, like, call them up if I needed to talk about something, you know?
Especially if it was gay. see, this is, when you had said that, because it's, like, interesting, because I never interact with, like, the Catholic centers at Georgetown, because, like, I'm just not of the faith. And right. So what that means is, like, truthfully, like, the Catholic identity of Georgetown pretty much never comes for me. Like, and so it's never been a thing where I'm like, oh, like, it, like, inherent to Georgetown is, like, intolerance or whatever. Like, that's never really jumped out, like, for me. Like, obviously I know that is not everyone's experience, but what I will say is it's not the administration. Like, the administration is what it is. But I will say, it's, like, my experience with, like, the straight student body from New Jersey, like, that is, like, is kind of, like, the thing where I feel, like, a discord, rather than, like, and not to drag my, I love my friends from New Jersey.
No shade, Jersey boys, but. But I think that's a good point, is that, I don't know if people, no one is, I have not necessarily met, well, most people who I know are not, you know, outwardly homophobic, and I can't think of really anyone except for, like, with a few exceptions, who is, like, who would even consider, like, themselves, like, to not have, like, weird feelings about the gay community. But I think it's just a lot of my closest friends are straight, and it's just sort of, like, for whatever reason, like, a lot of the circles, like, a lot of my friend groups when I first got here, that's just how it happened to turn out. Like, they're such amazing, incredible people, but a lot of them don't really have a lot of, when I first met them, didn't have a lot of knowledge about, like, the queer community.
Yeah.
And they didn't really know how to talk about it. And so I think that's just, like, a general problem that's kind of, you know, not necessarily exclusive to the straight students at Georgetown, but, and it's more like a, you know, general thing. But it's a good point, is that it's kind of uncomfortable, because it's like, I have a couple friends who, they didn't really, it was this weird thing where they didn't know I was gay, and I knew they didn't know, and I didn't know how to bring it up without it being, like, super weird, because it was like, oh my god, we're, like, 6 months into freshman year, and I still have it picked up on the hints. What the like, what? And so it was like, but with that, it was like, and it was never, I never really thought for sure, like, oh, like, like, homophobic, they're gonna be like, oh, we can't be friends anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It's the uncertainty. Yes. That's the worst, where you're like, But, like, there's a chance, and, like, I don't want it to, like, change the dynamic of our friendship. And, like, it did it, and, like, our friendship is better now that, like, we did, they did figure it out, but it was kind of, it was stressful that that was a thing I had to worry about. And that's a thing I think a lot of Christians have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, I'll always, like, have that moment where, like, it's someone you don't really know. Or, like, even if it's just, like, outside of, like, students, just, like, maybe you're just, like, all of a sudden start using, like, gender-neutral terms. Mm-hmm. Or you're like, oh, yeah, this person that I was seeing. is always the tension there. But, like, even just, like, out, like, once again, like, professors, and when it becomes to, like, education and ignorance, like, we have some very smart intellectual professors at the school, and some of my favorite professors, I've been in class and just like listening to them talk, and like something that relates to like sexuality will come up, and so quick, like this happened last week in one of my classes, my professor was just like automatically like conflating gender and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, want to just be like, no, like I'm sorry, like just educate yourself on like just little things. And it comes up all the time, and that reinforces like miseducation about like the LGBTQ community, because like if you're sitting in class as a straight kid who doesn't know anything about it, and then your professor is like reinforcing things that you already assumed, then like when are you ever gonna learn accurate information? I don't know, take a women's gender studies class, but like
well, that's a good point, is that it's hard to find good information. Like I remember I was in some, I don't remember, like a training thing for whatever, and we were talking about how to like learn about stuff like this, how to learn about not just like stuff about gender sexuality, but also race, about socioeconomic class. And like one of the presenters was like, just like don't ask, they basically said you shouldn't, you know, put so much pressure on the person of that identity that you know.
Yeah,
you should Google it. And I was like, no,
wait,
don't do that, because there's so much misinformation on the internet, and especially if you Google something. So say, like, I don't understand, you know, transgender identity, or I don't understand that, and I Google it, I'm going to get so much, like, random stuff. And if I'm, like, just coming out, how would I know how to filter what's real, what's false? Especially if I'm, you know, coming from a background where I don't know anything about that. I'm fortunate enough to have been raised by like parents who are very conscious of like, you know, looking at responsible news sources. Like in high school, my teacher was like, make sure you like follow it back, because like they were giving us this example where like someone used this source that had been cited by something that was originally published on some like weird like KKK blog, and they're like, see, like be careful about like what you use, because you don't know where it's coming from. And so if you're trying to like, if you're starting from, you know, zero knowledge about the LGBTQ community, it's so hard to, I think it's hard to learn. And I think that, especially if you just want to like do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like hard. It's just a hard thing, especially if it doesn't personally affect you. Like if you're not like, if you don't have any queer friends or friends that you know are LGBTQ, or it doesn't, you don't, you know, that doesn't, if it doesn't personally affect you, there's not a whole lot of incentive to go out and learn about it. Like I'm not going to go out and learn about basketball, because my friends love basketball, if I'm not, like, unless it's, like, becomes important to me.
Yeah.
And that's obviously very different. I don't conflate the two, but it's, like, there's not a whole lot of impetus to go out and look for it.
I was just going to say, I think, like, the tough thing is, like, queerness is inherently, like, disruptional, in that, like, you disrupt kind of a heteronormative understanding of self and things like that. And so when you have a bunch of people who have never challenged their own identity, like, it's very difficult to think that, like, oh, like, as soon as you understand, like, gender is a spectrum, you then have to consider, like, well, what does that mean for me, even though I am, like, cis male or whatever? Like, then how does that affect my identity? Like, once you understand that, like, sexuality is functionally, like, irrelevant and just a label, like, you know, it's like, what does that mean for me, even though I still feel straight? Like, it's like, it, like, there are things that, like, for that, like, queerness, like, understanding my own queerness has, like, forced me to, like, deeply question about myself, that I think, like, they're just not questions that are posed to everyone. Like, they're just questions that feel a little more relevant when you're, like, a minority identity. But even still, they're questions that should be asked of the majority identities.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's because, like, specific, like, sexuality as well, but, like, even more, gender is just like something that's become part of the air we breathe, like from like our childhoods, like, oh, boys on this side, girls on this side. So like we're so like steeped in like the idea of like this hegemony of gender that like it's hard, like going back to what we were talking about earlier, like about like me wearing a tie or you painting your nails, like it's just hard for people who've never thought about it to like conceptualize that, because then they think like automatically it's like, do you want to be a boy because you're wearing a tie? I'm like, no, I just like wearing ties. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But that brings me to something else I wanted to ask you about, which was Georgetown itself, partially because it's an old institution and partially because it's just like a Catholic institution, is very much like entrenched in those like gender norms, and that extends to like housing. So like if I wanted to house with like a guy, even though there's no way we would be involved with one another, I couldn't, like, right. Even though there's more of a chance of me being involved with a female, whatever, it doesn't matter. Or if you're a non-binary student, you're forced to room with someone who is of the same assigned sex that you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to talk about that, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue that sort of, I think, affects a lot of students. It's sort of this, in part because it is, especially for students who are, you know, gender nonconforming, who are, or who are transgender, it's a lot of work to room with someone who you feel comfortable rooming with. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you are a gender non-binary student and you have a friend who is of your same assigned gender and like you feel comfortable rooming with them, that's great. But if not, that's like, you know, what do you do? And from my understanding, I think it's possible to go into your like my access page and like you can go through a process to like change how your gender is listed, like for like, at least for classes. But if you want to go and change that like in the university like housing system, I think it's I'm not sure what the process is. I'm pretty sure it's pretty difficult, and so it's very difficult. It's hard for students because I think that I don't know if the university intentionally wants to create this forced gender binary and this forced sex binary, and part of it is, you know, the whole Catholic traditional idea of man and woman as being immutable, as being what they are, and not, there's not this range that we know there is. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's such a difficult topic, because it's like, I mean, some people might have like legitimate, you know, safety concerns about like a bunch of guys rooming with like a girl or something like that, but I mean, when you room with someone, like, you tend to, hopefully you're rooming with someone who you know and who you trust to be, you know, a friend who you can count on, especially in upperclassmen housing. I can see for like maybe for first years, if you're getting randomly assigned, it would make sense to put someone with someone of the same gender for like, you know, you don't want to put a guy and a girl for whatever reason, but then like what if there's, you know, a queer student, and you know, that can still be a thing too. It's I don't know, I think a lot of universities are dealing with this, and I don't know how well all of them are dealing with it.
Well, I've heard of smaller schools, like liberal arts schools specifically, but maybe some bigger schools as well, like allowing students to room with people of other genders, which I think can't, like, when people hear, like, especially like older people hear, they're like, oh, that's a recipe for trouble. I'm like, really break down like why you thinking that, because like we're college age kids, like if someone's dating someone, like they can go to their room anyway.
It's not like some schools where like you can't have someone of the opposite gender in your room after like 10 p.m.
yeah,
like a lot of very like Christian service schools have, like, here it's like you can be in whatever room at whatever time you want, like it's not really an issue. And the whole, like, why would you assume that, like, oh, a bunch of people are rooming together, like, of course they're gonna all have a bunch of sex, like, why is that the first thing your mind jumps to?
Exactly.
And, you know, like, and it's also like people can do that anyways, but like, you know, also frankly, why would you want to room with someone you're like dating?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Honey, that's a poor life choice. Like, that is a,
if you want to make that mistake, you should learn from that mistake.
Honey.
Go ahead.
Honey. Like, and then you're stuck with them, or you have to do some room. It's a nightmare. Uh-uh. And it's like, I don't know. Because I know for me, I had a lot of friends, most of my friends freshman year were, like female identifying, and mm-hmm. I had like a couple guy friends, but they were all had like already had rooming mm-hmm. plans, and so like I was like, who am I gonna room with?
I feel this.
It took me forever to like find someone, and then
this is such a real.
I know, and then I like I applied to be an RA, but it was like not the there was a lot of reasons I wanted to play by the way because I really wanted to be an RA, but also I was also like they don't have to worry about this problem.
Yeah.
And so I like. When I wasn't sure if I was gonna get the job, I was like, I had to like find someone, and it's a good friend in France currently. Mm. I almost roomed with him freshman year mm-hmm. or sophomore year. but then I got like the RA thing, and I have like my own room now.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of thinking about like, where am I gonna be an RA next year as a senior? Like, do I want to live in you know an upperclassman space, or mm-hmm. if Crossroads gets a lot more interesting, gets moved somewhere, and like we do get somewhere with more. Where I'd have roommates, like, mm-hmm. who do I live with? Because everyone has, like, plans.
Yeah.
Everyone, all, like, my guy friends have plans because, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of hard.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's unfair to students. I think it's hardest on students who either have better relationships with people of the opposite sex or gender mm-hmm. just because, mm-hmm. Or people who, you know, maybe they are quite identifying and they don't have a great... It's harder for them to be have like good relationships with people of the same sex or gender. Like I know mm-hmm. for me, like when I'm friends with guys, I always feel unless I'm like really close with them, I always feel uncomfortable because mm-hmm. I'm like I don't know like how I am. I don't want to like you know like threaten your masculinity and like mm-hmm. make it so like you don't feel comfortable around me and I don't feel comfortable around you and it's like a whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like a person like that who and you're not you know great at navigating that tension because it's not an easy thing to do. It's like,
why would I want to live in the same space as you?
Right, you're in a pickle.
Yeah, I think it's weird. And now I'm thinking about like the only people I know who are actually, I guess I know two people. One is an RA. I don't know what the other's living situation is, but I can't like it's tough for me. Like I don't know who I'm gonna room with next. Like my roommate's fine, but like we're not gonna room together next year. Mm-hmm. But like I don't know who I want to room with because mm-hmm. like all my girlfriends have like people they like that they're rooming with, so I'm like well, what are we gonna do here? But I guess I gotta figure it out because Catholicism says so. but it's a really strange thing, especially in a time where like we're in a time of our lives where we're supposed to start being able to like make these decisions and like think
yeah.
things through, so like why not give us the option, even though our donors would probably throw up their hands and like riot if they ever
heads
just
would, like spin around like 360 degrees and like catch fire.
Exactly, if they ever let us do that. But especially like
love you donors.
Love you donors for giving us money.
Feel free to sponsor my tuition if you like. I'll drop my Venmo in the description.
but yeah, even if it was like say like what is it, like a villa or something where mm-hmm. something where it's like multiple rooms. Like
yeah.
you can't even like have say like maybe like two people of the same gender in one room and then like people of another gender in another.
I don't have enough men friends to like.
Like where do you find all of these
people? A villa.
That's like a good point. It's like especially if you're in a living situation where you can have like upperclassmen housing where they have like a couple rooms
yeah.
and like you can just segment it even then by gender. It's like how different is that from like a first year housing situation? How different is that from, you know, you're living in a dorm and you have a common area.
I had guys on my floor freshman year. Like, what's the difference?
Right. Like if you're living in like in a Harmon cluster, you have a shared, like you have like these, or like if you live in like New South or something
mm-hmm.
where like it's just this long hallway and it's like, you know, half the hall is, you know, women, half the hall is men, or, and then like, but they're still interacting. They're still moving back and forth. They have the same common space. They
yeah.
have different bathrooms.
Dudes see me in my towel all the time going to the shower.
Right.
What is the difference?
It's the same exact thing. Except it's with people you know.
Yeah.
And trust.
Mm-hmm.
And have like a relationship with that probably isn't sexual because you're living together.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But yeah, no, I have a friend at American who's living with all her and her, she has a female roommate and then they're just living with dudes. And it's, no one cares. It's fine. But Georgetown has hangups, which is frustrating. But it's interesting being a queer kid on this campus, for
mm-hmm.
sure. Let's see. Oh, wow. We've been talking for a while. Do you have any closing thoughts? Anything else you want to say?
My views are my own and not endorsed by any part of the university.
Well done.
And more importantly, I want to thank you guys, y'all, for having me on. I... I love having the opportunity to talk about this stuff. And also, like, I'm not an expert on, like, any of this. Mm. You know, I'm still learning just like everyone else. And I think we can all keep learning about other people. So keep having discussions. Keep talking to people. Keep, like, being willing to, like, have your views challenged, you know. And if you're challenging someone's view, remember, like, don't be, like, coming for their throat. Be like, look, honey, like, you can learn. I can learn. It's a great time. So, also, go see Rocky Horror next year when it comes out.
Yes. Okay. Also, apply to be in Crossroads.
Oh, apply to be in Crossroads. Yeah. It's going to be on the Hoya Housing app this year, so that's going to be fantastic. And, you know, the more people we get, the more likely it is that we get either more space or get moved to a bigger space. So, like, well, I actually don't know if that's how that works. But the more people, the merrier. So be there, be square.
Great. So, yeah, you can listen to more Georgetown podcasts on georgetownvoice.com. You can read articles that Max and I have written, but also other lovely writers have written. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and anything else? Alrighty, have a lovely week. Appreciate the skin on the back of your heels. And be safe out there.
Bye.